Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. From whichever part of the world you are tuning into, this is Sidisha Verma from School of Marketing for Small and Medium Businesses. Most of you might already know about this specific issue because this has been going on for more than a month right now. But for those of you like me who don't tend to look at the world matters, they are just too focused on their own work, their own life, this podcast is just for you, because here I will be providing you with all the details regarding what is happening with the Russia-Ukraine war and specifically on India, what its effect will be. Of course, this is a bit of old information, I would have to say, because by now most of the people know about the conflict that has been raging in Russia-Ukraine. So, Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine that opened with air and missile strikes on Ukrainian military facilities. Before troops and tanks rolled across the borders from the north, east and south. At least for me, this has been my first-hand experiences of war, because when the Gulf War actually happened, I was too small to actually understand what was happening. When 9/11 happened, yes, I knew what was happening because by then I was of considerable size and age. So, but for me, how does a war look like? Do countries actually go to war on each other is a concept that has been very alien to me until this Russia-Ukraine war actually happened. So explosions were heard in Kyiv, capital of Ukraine, before dawn on Friday, which is at the start of this month. Now, specifically, if you look at what has been happening between Russia and Ukraine, the war between Russia and Ukraine is not a new one. There has always been conflict between both these countries. It just went to a level wherein Russia took the action, because until now Russia was just talking about taking action, but now they have taken a full-fledged action. Now, specifically, if you look at the other countries, the biggest country that is always looking at the world matters and making sure that there are no conflicts between countries, even though there are conflicts, then there is no specific action taken by the countries, is of course the US, which is the Bada Bap, right? So the US had predicted that Putin would falsely claim that the rebel held regions were under attack to justify an invasion. Now, specifically, what are these rebel held regions? Rebel held regions are Donetsk and Luhansk. So even by this time, if you are somebody who follows the newspapers on a regular basis, already know about the history of these regions. But for somebody like me who doesn't follow newspapers on a day-to-day basis, the regions are Donetsk and Luhansk. Now, specifically, if you look at what has been the issue between both of these, there were always conflicts between Russia and Ukraine, and there are three parties in these conflicts. One is Ukraine, one is Russia, and the third and the most important party that many people don't talk about is the rebels. So in April 2014, Russia-backed rebels seized government buildings in Donetsk and Luhansk regions and proclaimed the creation of People's Republics and battled Ukrainian troops and volunteer battalions. So Ukraine was holding the government in Donetsk and Luhansk, but then Russia backed some rebels who took hold of these regions and they created their own government. Now, the following month, the separatist regions, that is the government holding regions in Donetsk and Luhansk, held a popular vote to declare themselves as independent nations, and then they made a bid to become part of Russia. But Moscow has not accepted the motion yet. They said, let us keep these regions as independent for the time being, and they wanted to make sure that they use these regions, Donetsk and Luhansk, because they are very near to the border of Ukraine, as station their troops over there to have a control on Ukraine and to make sure to prevent Ukraine from joining NATO. Now, what would happen if Ukraine joins NATO. If Ukraine joins NATO, then it would become part of the Western world. It would start gathering a lot of support from Western countries. And if you specifically look at Western countries, one of the biggies is of course US, which is again the Bada Bab. So Russia wants to make sure that Ukraine does not become close to US. And why is that important to Russia? Because if Ukraine becomes close to US, it becomes a part of a member of NATO, then US can use this as an excuse to install their army, to install their battalions, to put their to put all of their troops in Ukraine. Now specifically, if you look at that situation, then that situation is definitely not something which is ideal for Russia, because at any point of time US can immediately start a war on Russia. So Russia is telling the world that they started this war only because they want to protect their borders, they want to protect their country from an invasion from Ukraine, which is likely to join NATO. Now, Russia has been complaining about this since a while now. This is not the first thing that they did, which is launch a war. So, to be fair, Russia has been complaining about Ukraine becoming stronger, Ukraine becoming a NATO member, and also asking Western countries, specifically the US, to make sure that this does not happen, because if Ukraine becomes a NATO member, it would be a disaster for their border. They would not feel secure. Now, specifically in 2014, when this happened, that is the capture of the border regions, which is Donetsk and Luhansk regions, happened. What happened was France and Germany, they tried to broker a peace agreement between Russia and Ukraine. That is where the Minsk agreement comes into picture. The Minsk agreement was supposed to be signed in February 2015 by representatives of Ukraine, Russia, and the rebels. So, according to this agreement, there is supposed to be a peace deal, and this would be a major diplomatic coup for the Kremlin, obliging Ukraine to grant special status to the separatist regions, allowing them to create their own police force, their own judicial system, their own administration, etc. It also envisaged that the Ukraine could only regain control over the roughly 200 kilometer border with Russia in rebel regions after they get self-rule. So, what this means is Russia wanted to make sure that Ukraine was giving enough respect to the individual regions so that Russia could actually place their troops in the individual regions, that is the Luhansk and the Donetsk regions. So if Ukraine tries to become a NATO member, then they can threaten them. And that is what this Minsk agreement actually means. But the Minsk agreement was not signed specifically by Ukraine. But when the president Zelensky talked about this Minsk agreement in open to his citizens, the citizens said this is not something that we want, because we feel that this is an obligation, this is a betrayal of national interest. And so, because the citizens were not open to it, the president did not sign the Minsk agreement. And since then, Russia has been really angry with Ukraine, and Russia has been telling Western countries not to allow, of course, Ukraine into the NATO, not to support them, pressurize Ukraine to sign any sort of deal. So there is Ukraine does not become, you know, powerful, and it is safe for Russia. But of course, Western countries, they are invested in their own interests, so they did not take Russia's word seriously. Now, specifically coming to what is the world going to do about this war, of course, the immediate effect that you see with any war that happens in the world is the world stock markets plunged, oil prices soared, that there would be probably an inflation which would happen, there would be an increase in food prices, heating bills, etc. And apart from this, of course, the human toll is a big, huge number, because lots of humans will leave, would be dead, right? So that is the inevitable effect of any war. Now, specifically, if you look at Russia and Ukraine, they are the major producers not only of energy products but also grains and various other commodities. And that is why this concern that the food prices would skyrocket and the heating bills would skyrocket as well. Now, specifically, if you look at Western countries, they are trying to make sure that Russia stays in its lane, stops this war immediately by saying that they will impose sanctions. Specifically, they are saying they will impose sanctions, but how effective are these sanctions is yet to be seen because the war is still going on since 2 months now. And if you specifically look at Biden, who is the president of US, he said that any assets that are available for the four large Russian banks which are settled in US, that is which have offices in US, are actually blocked so that they don't provide any financial support to Putin to make sure that this war continues. Now, apart from that, of course, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said he would aim to cut Russia off from the UK's financial market so they cannot raise any money, their companies, that is Russia's companies, cannot raise any money, etc. And they also said that, of course, the Russian bank, which is the biggest bank, which is there in UK, VTB Bank, is their assets will be frozen by the UK government. Now, specifically look at this country, which is, of course, the biggest country in the world and whose reactions are always very different from the world. China has not given any public statement regarding Russia-Ukraine war. They did not denounce Russia for doing it. But on Thursday, that is last month, they approved imports of wheat from Russia. And the interesting fact is, until then, this wheat was actually banned from China because they found some kind of infestation in the wheat from Russia. So they have banned it previously, but now they have allowed imports of wheat, which means, of course, they are supporting Russia through the best possible way, which is trade. Now, specifically, if you look at India, effects on India are twice. You can find two effects on India. One is life and one is trade. Of course, when it comes to life, there were more than 18,000 students studying medical and engineering in Ukraine. Specifically, medical, if you look at Indian landscape, economy, etc., it is very difficult for somebody to get a medical seat here, given the competition of the tests and the huge population that is aiming for these exams. Apart from that, the seats are very limited. If you have to get into a private college, you have to pay donations in the crores, which many people cannot afford. Rather than that, with just a fraction of the donation amount, you can actually go to Ukraine and then become a medical doctor, because the certificate that is provided by Ukraine colleges are recognized by the World Health Council, the Indian Medical Council, Pakistan Medical and Dental Council, European Council of Medicine, and General Medical Council of the United Kingdom. So all the major medical councils across the world and also Indian Medical Council approve or recognize of the medical degrees that are provided by the Ukraine colleges. That is why many Indian students they're already there in Ukraine, and that number is coming to 18,000. So India was able to extradite all of these people back to India, and they seem to be safe right now in the country. So that is a great aspect that has happened. Now, specifically, the second aspect of any country when there is a war is, of course, the trade aspect. Now, specifically, if you look at the relationship between India and Ukraine, India was the 15th largest export and the second largest import market of pharmaceutical products for Ukraine in 2020. As for India, Ukraine is the 23rd largest export market and the 30th largest import in the same category. Now, specifically, if you look at the pharmaceutical market, Indian pharmaceutical companies like Ranbaxy, Dr. Reddy's, Sun Group, etc., they are the huge representatives in Ukraine. So they are the ones who are looking after this industry, pharmaceutical industry in Ukraine. They have a lot of effect because they have set up manufacturing facilities also in that specific country. Now, India has a favorable trade balance with the Ukraine, not just for pharmaceutical products, but also they have a trade surplus, which stands for other commodities, including animal, vegetable fats, electronic equipment, plastics, and related articles. Now, we need to see what happens to the trade as this war continues to happen. Now, specifically, if you look at this war situation and what I feel about it, I feel we cannot specifically point fingers on anybody here because, of course, a threat to the country is the most imminent threat, and any president or anybody who is at the highest echelon of power takes that seriously. And Russia has been trying to tell all the countries that they don't want Ukraine to become more powerful because it puts it in an impossible situation, but the world has not listened to it, so Russia had to take action. Now, specifically, if you look at Ukraine's President Zelensky, he has been adamant. He has been trying to make sure that he gets into NATO. Of course, again, that is something that you expect from the highest power. At the end of the day, he has to take care of his countrymen first, of his country first. So he has also been trying to become a member of the NATO. So he can actually become powerful enough to face Russia if it comes to that. So we cannot say that it is Russia is in the wrong or Ukraine is in the wrong. But it is just sad that so many people are losing their lives. Livelihoods, most of them had to immigrate to some other country, and if this happens to you or me, it is very, very sad to, you know, just get out, get up one day, pack your bags and go to a country wherein you don't know anything, you are a refugee, nobody takes you seriously, you don't have money in your pockets, and you just have to wait for somebody's support. It is just a very, very sad situation. But apart from that, what happens, what will be the outcome of this war? No matter who comes out as the winner, it is the people who will be suffering at the end of the day. So that's it, guys. I hope you found this content interesting. If you want to look at the visual aspects of this specific case study, you can check it out on my YouTube channel. It is called as Everything Business by Sirisha Varma. That is SirashaVarma. So apart from that, if you want me to help you take your business online, because I run a digital marketing agency here in India, you can reach out to me, write a note to me at sirisha@brandingbypixels.com. That is sirasha@brandingbypixels.com. There is a huge news that I would love to share with you. We are the clutch leader for 2021 for the best creative advertising agency. I would be updating this once we get the award. We have been notified of the award, but there is still 1 week time before we actually get the award into our hands. So I would be notifying that. Probably showcasing a picture as well in my YouTube channel. So do check that out. If you like the content that I'm creating, you can go ahead and subscribe to me on YouTube. If you want me to cover a specific topic, do write to me at sirisha@brandingbypixels.com. I will pick up that topic and cover it just for you. So that's it, folks. Have a great weekend ahead. I will see you again in my next podcast. Please do take care. And I hope we find world peace soon. Until then, let's pray for Ukraine and of course Russia's army, because they are also losing their lives. So let's pray for both sides. Let's take a moment. And that's it. I'll see you again. Bye-bye.